Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. One, two, one, two, three, four.
Welcome to Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. I am your co-host, Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
Sid, I'm a little bummed right now.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Justin. What's up?
Well, we got a kid on the way. That's not...
You're bummed about...
Okay, now let me...
I really don't think this is the place to bring that up. On a podcast?
Can I just finish?
You should have thought about this months ago.
Can I just finish? No, I'm a little bummed because I don't feel like we have enough material for our, like, your parents were so wild stories. Like, I don't feel like we've been particularly wild.
Well, maybe you don't.
Okay. Well, listen, pump the brakes there, TJ Hooker.
I'm just saying.
Okay. Listen, all I'm saying is
Me until I was like a junior in college.
Okay.
Half of it.
Okay. Now listen now. Come on. My worry, here's my thought. What I haven't done enough of is, we've drank plenty. What we haven't done enough of is...
let's just throw that out.
Done enough drugs, I feel like. And I'm worried because, like, now we're getting to a point where if we did it now, it'd be, like, so lame.
Yeah, like, probably wouldn't be a good idea for me to do a lot of drugs right now.
Like, yeah, because the kid stuff.
Because of the child growing inside me.
The human and stuff.
It's generally frowned upon.
Yeah. But for me, I time is running out, and I feel like now with this medical marijuana thing, I could kind of like, there's kind of like a back door. I don't know if that's as cool for me.
Just go to Colorado or
I guess
Amsterdam. They've been on that, you know, train for a while.
If John Law is like, good looking out, keep dubbing. I don't know if that's the thing cops in Colorado say. Like, is that
keep Dubin? That's what they say. If they pull you over, they're like, hey, are you smoking pot? Yes, sir, officer.
Yeah.
Good. You better be.
Keep Dubin, my
It's
man.
Actually against the law not... Is
you
that right?
To,
I think I read that right. It's
there.
Against the law not to smoke marijuana
I guess before I make this commitment, I would like to know a little bit more about medical marijuana, and then I can make a rational, educated decision about whether I'm going to spend the next few months Dubin it up.
Right. Well, I'll go ahead and burst.
As they say.
I'm going to tell you all about it. I'll burst your bubble ahead of time and tell you that it is not legal in West Virginia. So,
son of a gun.
So there. That's going to go out the window. And I would definitely not prescribe marijuana to my husband if it was, because that seems like a bad plan.
Yeah, it's unethical. I understand you're not allowed to prescribe drugs to me. That's fine.
Yeah, but I'll tell you about it anyway.
Please, I'm ready.
First of all, before we talk about marijuana, I want to say thanks to Rob. Who recommended this great topic. And if the thing is, there's lots to read and learn and check out about medical marijuana out there.
We are going, don't make this one of those where everybody sends us messages on Twitter like, hey, you forgot to talk about blah, blah, blah. We know we're not going to get to everything. Absolutely.
There is so much to say. Marijuana has been used both medicinally and recreationally for thousands and thousands of years.
There is, honestly, there seems to be a pretty sizable section of overlap on the Venn diagram between people that have time to write stuff on the internet and people who have time to smoke a lot of weed.
And there are lots of opinions. This is a hot button issue. And it has been for a long time, interestingly. It's been controversial for quite a while. So I know I'm going to leave some stuff out. I'm trying to hit the high points and maybe offer some medical perspective on it.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said, the use of marijuana as medicine, it probably dates back to like 2900 BC. So like I said, a really long time ago.
Wow, that is very long. That's one of the older treatments.
So we go back to the Chinese emperor Fu Xi, who referenced its medical use, and he noted also, and this is a theme that we'll see a lot in kind of the ancient use of marijuana, that it is as much for medicinal purposes as like for religious purposes,
mm-hmm.
that it's good for the spirit and the mind and the body all in one. So it was said to contain both yin and yang.
That's nice.
So
that's convenient, so you get, too. You save a lot of time.
This continued in Chinese medicine. The investigation of marijuana and what it could do continued, and the Emperor Shen Nung did a lot of research on it, investigating its medicinal properties, which I think is probably just a euphemism.
Yeah, for smoking weed.
That's what I hope our kid is clever enough to say if we ever catch him smoking weed.
No,
what are you doing?
No. It's research. Moms and dads.
Mom, I'm just investigating its medicinal properties.
It's science. Look at these test tubes. That's a bong. I'm not an idiot.
Much like the Emperor Shen Nung in 2700 BC, I'm investigating its medicinal properties.
You're 7 years old and I'm going to get arrested.
Where did you even get that?
Where did you even find
drugs? Did your dad give you that?
Why did I give you my drugs?
It was also advocated for gout, constipation, and absent-mindedness. Now I'm thinking
not a good job there, old timey dudes.
I'm thinking that maybe didn't work.
No, that one didn't pan out.
That one I don't know so much about. In 1500 BC it was added to the Chinese pharmacopoeia, and then the use of it from there just expanded. They actually had a use for pretty much every part of the plant. So much like the buffalo. There is a use for every part. Just to give you some examples, and there were many uses for each part. This is not the only use, but the seeds were said to be a laxative, again, among many other things. You could use the oil for hair loss. You could use the juice from leaves. Now, you wouldn't want to eat the leaves. It was said that they were poisonous, but the juice, fresh juice from leaves, could be used as an anti-helminthic or for deworming someone. Mm-hmm. And the flowers were for menstrual disorders.
Now, when you say they were for, or that you mean not like effectively, right? Just
Well, I mean they were used for. Who knows if they were effective? I mean, at this point, we're talking about, you know, thousands and thousands of years ago. People were definitely using them in droves. They wrote about it. It was studied. Now, I mean, I don't have controlled trials from that era, but that's also what it was said to be helpful for.
None of that stuff was GMO'd. Maybe it was like super whoop tushy pot that we can't even get
it
anymore.
It was the best stuff.
It's like the best ever that we can't get.
Now is that sad. Making you sad?
Now I'm a little sad. I don't even like pot that much.
All that ancient Chinese herb you'll never get your hands on?
All that ancient Chinese ganj. I'll never be able to puff it. I guess that's what people say, right? Do it up and puff it.
You can tell that we've used a lot of drugs.
Yeah, we're showing our literacy.
We're very cool. There is some evidence. I found this mentioned a couple places, and I think people just like to throw it out there because it sounds like this is really legit. There's a holy anointing oil that is mentioned in Exodus,
mm-hmm.
in the Bible. You may be familiar with this, having read the Bible probably, and I haven't much.
Are you just assuming because I was raised Baptist that I read the Bible?
Yes.
Okay.
As I am assuming
I learned I learned many verses. I was in Awana, after all.
I'm assuming you know much more than me.
Approved workmen are not ashamed is what that stands for, in case you're curious. And no, I'm not ashamed, Sydney. I've read a Bible verse or two in my day. Nothing weed specific. Same. We tend to gloss over those chapters.
Right.
I assume.
And the sexy stuff, right? The
sexy stuff.
You guys didn't cover that.
Yeah, no Song of Solomon.
That's why I sat there during Mass and tried to just flip through and see if there was any sexy stuff. But they just see in the Missal, they don't include that. We didn't have a whole Bible there, like in church.
I remember a youth pastor saying to me, like he was doing his sermon, he's like, Bible's got everything. You even want some sexy stuff? Song of Solomon's got the sexiest chapters you'll ever read. And I remember thinking, like, what else are you reading that you're like, yes, this is the stuff. This is the best stuff that is.
Is it really sexy?
No, there's like, it's like, it says stuff like, you're breasts are like galloping buffalo, or like your breasts are like galloping zebras or something. It's like, it's basically like Shakira lyrics. Like, it's not like a level of sex that I cannot.
Did Shakira write the Song of Solomon?
The Song of Shakira was the original title. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to divert you here.
I'm sorry. That was blasphemous.
Back to the topic at hand. We got a lot to cover.
So the thought is that maybe this holy anointing oil that was mentioned in Exodus contained cannabis. I don't know. I'm sure that there are people who've dug up evidence for this, and it's the time period. Maybe it did. I have no idea. I don't know that would, if that's your excuse to, you know, your parents or the cops as to why you're smoking weed, I don't know that that's a great one.
No, it's holy.
The ancient Egyptians had a ton of uses for it. Glaucoma, which is something that persists today. Enemas, which is something I don't think persists today.
I bet it does somewhere, Sydney. It's America and it's 2014. Somewhere it's happening.
Somebody's doing a marijuana enema right now.
A marijuana.
Good luck with that.
Good luck.
And then generalized inflammation, which I that's a great use because that's anywhere. And if you don't have inflammation somewhere, just stub your toe, then you do.
I need pot.
That's my help. Inflamed. Toes inflamed. Ooh, hangnail. The Indian medicine got way into marijuana. Again, and a lot of this was linked with the spiritual effects as well. Because obviously it was a mind-altering substance, but it was also used for prolonging life, lowering fevers, inducing sleep, maybe, curing dysentery, quickening the mind. Again, with some of these...
I don't know about your acuity. Maybe afterwards, like by comparison... Like when you go back to normal, like, no, I do feel, well, like, yeah, compared to an hour ago, certainly.
So maybe if you do it for like a few weeks on end, like just stay high for a while and
yeah,
stop.
You lose your calibration.
And all of a sudden you're like, I am a sparkling conversationalist and I didn't know.
Yeah, no, you're just not staring at your hand.
It also was said to improve judgment. I don't know.
I don't know. I've seen some pretty tragic Bajas in my day that would attest otherwise.
I think I'd believe curing dysentery first. And this just continued. The Greeks used it again for. I mean, this was cannabis. Very much was a cure-all. Anything you could name, somebody used marijuana to fix it. So earaches, edema, any kind of inflammation. The Romans hit on something that you could use cannabis for, which actually is very honest. I don't know why it's considered useful in this regard, but it could kill your sex drive.
Ah. Yeah, I don't know why you would need to do that.
But I guess if you just, I don't know.
Maybe you're headed off to war?
Maybe wives could dose their husbands if they were like worn out or something.
Maybe. I guess. I mean, it's an option.
I don't know. My husband won't let me get any sleep. I'm going to give him some marijuana.
I know where to get some. I'm an old Roman lady. I know where to get drugs and Justin doesn't. Figure it out. I don't know.
These were much.
I don't have Twitter, so I guess that's fine.
These were much cooler times. Everybody had drugs back then.
That's ridiculous.
I know. If you haven't noticed, Justin can't find drugs. He doesn't. This is like a theme in his life. He doesn't know where to find drugs.
People keep finding it. I watch TV. They still make them.
My 13-year-old sister Riley was telling us about a girl who showed her that she had drugs at school. She showed her, like, look, this is my marijuana I keep in my Altoids tin or whatever.
Yeah.
And Justin was so jealous. Like, there's a 13-year-old who has marijuana.
Keep in mind, I'm not, like, infatuated with the idea of doing drugs. I was not a heavy user of drugs in college or anything. I'm just very irritated by the fact that everybody seems to be finding them and not me. That's all. It was like for that week when everybody was raving about Let It Go and I didn't know what anybody was talking about. Like, is that a song? I don't know what you're saying. And I mean, we finally watched Frozen and all, it was fine, but like, I don't know. I just don't like feeling left out, I guess.
Think how much better it would have been if you'd been high.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
You know who else had something to say about marijuana?
Pliny?
That's right.
Yeah, I guess.
Or Pliny, to those
Pliny,
of you who are correct.
Sorry, Pliny. If you want to be right about it.
If you want to be right, it's Pliny. If you want to be us, it's Pliny. He recommended it for cramped joints, gout, generalized pain, which again is a theme that we will see over and over again. He also mentioned the use of hemp rope. This is something that you'll see all through the kind of intertwined with the history of, you know, the medicinal use of cannabis mm-hmm. is the use of the hemp plant for, you know, rope and cloth and, you know, sails on boats and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole history to be done about that, but that's not medicine, so we're not going to talk about it. The Arabic world was the first to really hit on the fact, and certainly people had mentioned this before, but to really talk about the fact that it's not entirely benign.
Okay.
They talked about it as a possibly being a poison, and I don't think in the sense that people were dying from it, but that the behaviors or the kind of the effects of it were not always good.
Right.
You wouldn't always want to end up the way that it made you, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But despite that, it persisted all through the Middle Ages. Cannabis was used in a variety of forms for a variety of problems. Like I said, I mean, it was a cure-all.
Yeah.
And it made you feel good.
You think that was it, though? Like, I've found a theme with not all cure-alls, but a lot of them seem to be more like justifications. You know, like, you like the way it feels, and it's hard to just accept, like, hey, I just like doing this.
I think that's part of it. And that was certainly something that, you know, as we're going to move forward and we see it in some cases be replaced by other drugs that maybe worked better for certain things. It was the reason that it was still, you know, kind of a player in the industry was that it made you feel better than maybe drugs that worked better,
mm-hmm.
depending on what the problem is. The other thing is a lot of people pull up or would like to suggest that was it so popular because it was addictive?
Mm-hmm.
Like we, you know, as we've talked about before, for things like opium, that's a hotly debated topic. I would say from what I've read, and we'll talk about it a little more, that probably isn't the reason why it was so popular.
Mm.
It was more like what you hit on. It made you feel good.
Sure.
And if you don't have something for a problem and this thing at least makes you feel good, well, why not?
Hey.
So let's move to the new world.
Let's.
We're here.
Oh, that was easy.
We already live here.
I thought we'd lose some of the crew along the way. It was fairly non-eventful.
No, it's 2014. It's much easier to get here now.
Oh. Thanks, Virgin Air.
As I mentioned, the big way that marijuana factored into, early America was in the form of hemp for rope and cloth. And the Jamestown settlers used it for a variety of reasons. George Washington and Thomas Jefferson both grew hemp.
Nice.
So if you want to throw that out there, that might get you a little further than possibly being in the Bible. This is a known fact. We can prove it. They both grew it.
Also had slaves. So, I mean, not like great. Like, they don't have like a great track record. Not like 100% great track record.
Well, that's a fair point. Maybe you don't want to use them as an example.
Yeah.
Maybe you want to go back to the holy anointing oil.
Yeah. Or Pauly Shore. He seems to have everything together.
No, that's a worse example.
That's a much worse example.
Oh, well, now.
Is Pauly Shore worse than slavers? Is Biodome worse than slavery? Discuss it on the Maximum Fun forums.
Let us know.
Tweet us.
Don't tell anybody that we told you to. it was also in this time period, it was used for depression. That was when that use became popular. As well as menstrual cramps. Queen Victoria popularized that.
Oh.
So
that's a cool visual.
Queen Victoria smoking pot.
Queen Victoria, like, ah, these cramps. Weed.
That's what you say when you exhale?
I don't know. I don't know about your culture.
When you exhale, you say weed?
I
don't think that's what you do.
I'm not sure.
It's been a while. And then, you know, throughout the early U.S., it was used a lot in patent medicines, which we've talked about before.
Mm-hmm.
They contained a lot of different things to make you feel something because they didn't always work for whatever they were, you know, mm-hmm. advertised to work for. So they would contain things like alcohol or opiates or cannabis mm-hmm. so that you would have some effect from them. Cannabis was a very popular ingredient. It actually, people who realized that they were getting hooked on some of the opiate containing things such as laudanum, which we've talked about before, started to use cannabis containing products to get themselves off of opium.
Hmm.
You could use it for some of the withdrawal symptoms. It wouldn't completely make it go away, but it would help.
Sid, I want to hear so much more about the history of marijuana and its medical uses here in the good old U.S. of A. And throughout the world, of course. But first, I want to talk real quick. This is our second and final episode of the Maximum Fun Drive. If you don't know, we are part of a podcast network. It's called Maximum Fun. It's got other shows like Judge John Hodgman, My Brother, My Brother and Me, and Stop Podcasting Yourself, and Bullseye, and Jordan Jesse Go, and Lady to Lady, and Oh No, Ross and Carrie, and a lot of other great podcasts. And the way we keep it on the air isn't through sponsors, and it isn't through advertising. It's through you, the listeners at home, supporting our network, not unlike a PBS, for example, or other similar network that is listener-supported. And every year we come to you, hat in hand, and say, hey, if you've been enjoying the entertainment that you've gotten over the past year, or since June, in our case, maybe could you kick
close enough?
Maybe could you kick in a few bucks? And so that is when we. This is the time of year that we do that. If you go to maximumfund.org/donate, you're going to find a lot of different options that you can give at. Now, we're not just asking for you to pledge a certain amount of money that you're going to give us every month.
No, we've got some great gifts for you.
We've got gifts for you. If you can pledge $5 a month, you're going to be a Maximum Fun member, and you're going to get exclusive bonus content. We've got a bonus episode on there about...
We sent ourselves in a TARDIS 100 years into the future to talk about what we think somebody would do a Sawbones episode on 100 years from now.
Yes, yeah, so we look at today's medicines and
kind of critique what we're doing right now.
That and like it's part of 44 hours of bonus content that you're going to get for just $5 a month. We send you a link and you can start listening to bonus episodes and videos and all kinds of stuff from all our different shows. If you're willing to pledge $10 a month, you're going to be a friend of the family. You're going to get an 18-month mini Max Fun cat calendar,
which features all of the different hosts from the Max Fun Network rendered as cats.
It's adorable. Wait till you see. I don't know what month we have. I hope we have a good month.
Oh, I don't know either.
Yeah,
we have a good month. I hope it's a warm month.
We're adorable. That's $10 a month. At $20 a month, you're going to be part of the Diamond Friendship Circle, and you're going to get the Max Fun Morning Essentials Kit. That's a cobalt blue Max Fun rocket mug, half a bag, easy for me to say, of delicious Tonks coffee.
Which is very fancy coffee. It's
very fancy.
It has many different notes and flavors and...
You also
aromas.
Thanks to Tonks for supporting us, by the way. And you're gonna get a bar of Stack soap. That is a soap that has a divot in it, where you can
so you can like take the old little piece of soap that you've got left over and like stick it in the new bar of
dumb
soap.
Dumb sliver.
And you never waste your soap.
Put it into your divot, your soap divot there. So thank you to Stack soap for helping us out. And at $35 a month, you can be part of the Judge Hodgman Justice Squad. You're going to get all that stuff before. Each level comes with all the previous level's gifts, but you're also going to get a pair of rocket engraved highball glasses with Max Fun logo on them. They're lovely. They'd match our rocks glasses.
Yeah, and you can do a lot of drinking for me out of them.
Yes, and you can get that for just $35 a month. Don't miss out. We have other levels. There's a $100 level, Jesse's Golden Eagles, where you are going to get a monthly culture gift from one of the hosts on our network. $200 a month, you'll get all that stuff, plus free registration on the Atlantic Ocean Comedy and Music Festival, boatparty.biz, for more information on that. And the important thing is you're helping to make content, more content, that you love.
Absolutely. And if you especially happen to love us,
mm-hmm.
make sure and mention that.
Yeah,
donate.
Yes, it is a great way to help us make more of our podcast. We need to buy equipment, and everybody on the network uses it to like pay people to make these shows. And if you love these shows, then this is a great way of showing it.
Plus, we got a baby on the way.
We got a baby on the way. Just tell him you love Sawbones, best, and please give us some money.
And Justin's already trying to give her a really vicious drug habit, so we're going to need
help. It's not habit forming there, John Long.
Okay, well, fair enough.
Buzz Killington. Okay, so one more time, MaximumFun.org/donate. If you can go there and help us out with a donation, gosh, that would just mean the world to us. And thank you in advance if you're able to do that. It would just be the best. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
And thank you.
More weed.
So, things were going pretty well in the U.S. People were, you know, taking in cannabis in various forms and loving it. Until 1906. So in 1906, the Pure Food and Drug Act of 1906.
That's hence the name. It's so convenient that that lined up that way.
I know. That was luck, though.
Yeah.
Changed a lot of the way patent medicines were sold in this country. It insisted that certain substances be mentioned on the labels so mm-hmm. that you would know what you were getting. And this included, as I've already mentioned, things like opiates and alcohol, but it also included cannabis, which was kind of our first recognition that this is something that isn't benign. You know, this is something people need to know about. It is an herb unlike other herbs, mm-hmm. and we should inform people if we're going to give them a bottle of some sort of liquid that contains it. After this, this was kind of like the first nail in the coffin. And after this, states started one by one banning it, that you couldn't have cannabis containing medications. You couldn't sell them, you couldn't market them, and this started to spell the end slowly, 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 many, many years until we get there, but the end of the free reign of cannabis in the U.S. Prohibition gave it a little bit of one last breath of life.
Why's that?
Because you couldn't drink.
So weed.
Weed. That actually started to popularize the recreational use.
Huh.
You got to understand, up to this point, it was largely a medicine. You know, I mean, yes, people understood, much like they did with laudanum, that it made you feel good. But it was largely used, you know, for medicinal reasons. This is when people started saying, well, hey, you know, I can't drink anymore. That cannabis stuff really makes me feel good. So if you were in a state where you could still get it, there you go. We were growing, actually, in the U.S. from like 1918 to 1925, so we're talking some prohibition years here, about 60,000 pounds of cannabis annually in the U.S.
Wow.
So, I mean, people were definitely using it. Now, the United States government was not thrilled with this.
Naturally, because they hate fun.
Right. Anything that's fun. They took away alcohol. They were going to take away weed. And there's a lot of reasons that go into this. There's a lot of political reasons. And again, I already mentioned that I'm not going to go into the whole history of hemp. But there are a lot of people who have, you know, a lot written and a lot that I don't know about the battle between the people who were making cloth and paper specifically out of hemp pulp as opposed to wood pulp. And there was a lot of financial interests that were disrupted by hemp. And so there are a lot of theories that part of the reason that cannabis was rebranded as marijuana and became criminalized was in order to suppress hemp as well.
Hmm.
So, again, another story for another podcast, but that's part of this kind of complex political financial picture. So as I mentioned, part of that was starting to use over and over again the term marijuana. This is when this became really popular. Hash and cannabis were words associated with medicine
mm-hmm.
up until that point, with mm-hmm. something that was natural from the earth and used to make you better. So they started using the word marijuana because they thought it sounded scarier. And it called it something new.
Right.
So you didn't associate marijuana with anything until the government told you marijuana was something bad.
Sort of like when the auto manufacturers wanted us to get rid of jaywalking. They started calling it jaywalking and turning it into a thing that they could easily sort of like brand and slander people for.
That's a good comparison. So then we can start, you know, I mean, cannabis, oh, that's just cannabis, but no marijuana. Now that sounds scary. And then, of
Thank
course.
Thank you to Roman Mars, by the way, and 99% Invincible for informing me of that occurrence. I'm just regurgitating what I heard there.
But you sounded really smart.
Thank you so much. I have my moments. And those moments are specifically when I'm regurgitating 99% Invincible.
And then, of course, in 1936, Reefer Madness, the movie. Are you familiar?
Mm-hmm. I've heard of it.
Propaganda film, many would say.
I haven't seen it myself.
that dramatized the effects of marijuana and what it could do to you and how it was spreading across the nation and scared a lot of parents and probably some kids, and started, you know, again, as we kind of look at the downfall of the use of marijuana. In 1942, it was officially removed from the U.S. pharmacopoeia. Meaning that it was not listed as a medicine that we should be, you know, and that's nothing official. It's just, it kind of falls out of common medical use.
Right.
But what really is important for marijuana is in 1970.
What happened then, Sid?
That is when it's listed as a Schedule I drug.
What's that mean?
So the DEA classifies medications in this country according to schedules. And these schedules kind of dictate how it can be prescribed. And this is based on its medical usage, its addictive potential, how safe it is. So it's the reason why there are some prescriptions that your doctor can just send to the pharmacy. And then there are other prescriptions that maybe they have to give you a copy of on paper. And some prescriptions they can give you refills and others that they can't, that kind of thing.
Now, I didn't think marijuana was addictive.
Well, that's the thing. So it was put in the category of Schedule I drugs. And Schedule I drugs are things that are supposed to be highly addictive, have no medical use whatsoever, and that there is a lack of data in terms of safety. So we can't use them in any way. This is the same class as, well, heroin, for instance, right, or PCP or LSD. These are not medicines that are prescribed. You know, nobody's prescribing Schedule I drugs for the, well, they are when it comes to marijuana, but that's why it's a special case.
Sounds like kind of a trumped up charge to me.
It, and that's what many would argue. Ever since then, basically ever since it was called a Schedule I drug, proponents of marijuana for medical use have been trying to remove it from that because it greatly limits our ability to study it.
Why is that?
Well, think about it. So let's say that you want to do a study on heroin.
Okay.
So you propose that you're going to give 25 people heroin and not give, and then give 25 other people a placebo and see what happens, compare some variable.
I can't imagine I'd be allowed to do that. No, of course. Then I'd have to have it.
Well, of course you wouldn't be allowed to do it, because you'd have to have heroin, and then you would have to intentionally give people heroin.
Right.
Which would be bad.
Because I need to keep the heroin for myself. To enjoy my own leisure time.
Okay, no, you can't enjoy heroin. Heroin is, we're just going to say heroin is bad, and we're not going to do a podcast on it, because heroin is bad. Don't do heroin.
Don't do heroin, guys.
Don't do, the jury's still out on marijuana, but don't do heroin. So that kind of gives you an example of why it's so hard to do any really good studies on marijuana, because it's Schedule I. So how am I even going to write some sort of proposal and get approved to do a study on marijuana, because then I have to give it to patients, and it's a Schedule I drug, which theoretically has no medical use and isn't safe.
But we can't test that because
it's a Schedule I drug.
Oh, yeah.
So a lot of the stuff that we end up having to use for study is stuff that we've seized illegally. Well, not seized illegally. It was seized from illegal transactions.
Huh.
So, you know, the DEA busts somebody, gets a bunch of marijuana, and then it's used, it's studied, you know, by the government. But a lot of those studies are again done in rats.
Rats smoking weed.
Yes, rats smoking weed.
At least something came of this episode. I get to imagine rats smoking weed.
So before we get into the research, because I do want to tell you about some of this research,
mm-hmm.
Real briefly, just to kind of round out the history, since it was called a Schedule I drug, we have had some advances in as far as there's a synthetic THC, the active ingredient in marijuana that we theorize is responsible for all of these great effects. Marinol, which is used for cancer and HIV patients for appetite and nausea and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Marijuana, as you probably know, has been legalized for medical use in 20 different states. In some of these states, this is actually used because there are dispensaries.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these states, it's not even practical. So it's legal to prescribe medical marijuana, but there's nobody who dispenses it. So,
right. Not a lot you can do with that.
No. So, I mean, it's just on the books and, you know, that's it. This is still in violation of federal law, though.
It's sort of like one of those hear no evil, see no evil type deals, though, right?
Well, every once in a while, the DEA gets all upset and talks about prosecuting, you know, physicians who prescribe it or people who grow it or whatever, but then they're not doing it.
Right.
And I think it's because of all this controversy we're talking about. And because, you know, people like Sanjay Gupta are in favor of it for medical use.
And I trust Sanjay.
And multiple other countries have done this. Now, here would be my question.
Hit me.
Does it work?
I don't know.
For anything?
You're the doctor.
Well, this is a hard question to answer. And I mean, I guess my final answer is I don't know, but let me give you some reasons why. Again, like I said, a lot of studies on the effects on our brain are done in rats. We know that, now we do know enough about the human brain and cannabinoids to know that we do have receptors for it. And we know that it can do a variety of things. But when we do studies on like dependence and withdrawal, a lot of those are done in rats, which is really funny because they actually get the little rats to like smoke a joint.
Aww.
I mean, they can give it to them in other ways, but there are ways where they can get them to like puff on a little fake like vaporizer. It's not a joint, I should say. It's like a little vaporizer, you know, so they can smoke it. I know. So that's kind of cute. And they found that like once the rat gets high, it doesn't go back for more until it's not high again.
Oh, that's good. I'm cool.
I'm good now. No problem. But both withdrawal and dependence, while we have observed this in rats to some extent, is not nearly as severe as it is in benzodiazepines, which are medicines like Xanax and Ativan, medicines that are legal, or opiates. So if we're worried about dependence and withdrawal, well, we're already prescribing medicines that are way worse than marijuana.
Right.
As far as human studies, a lot of what we do is anecdotal. So we interview people who smoke pot because we can't give it to them. So we take a bunch of people who have pain and say, do you smoke marijuana? And if they say yes, we put them in one group. And if they say no, we put them in another. And then we ask them a bunch of questions.
Seems like a weird way to get a sample.
Well, it's not a very good sample.
Right.
Because these people are already, you know, risking incarceration, depending on where you are, to use the marijuana. And so that may say other things about them, and they may actually already be sold on marijuana for its recreational use. So then how much is it helping with their chronic pain? I don't know. That's, I mean, and maybe it is, but the thing is, it's not a great way to do a study.
Okay, that makes sense.
There are some recent studies that we've done that have shown some limited benefits. So if we look at Parkinson's patients, we think maybe it can improve their symptoms, decrease some pain, improve some sleep. Mm-hmm. In HIV patients, there have been some small studies done where it's improved pain, depression, nausea, weight loss, all kinds of different things. In general, our thought is that it may be helpful with chronic pain. It may be helpful with nausea, with appetite. Of course, glaucoma, because there were some old studies that showed that it lowered intraocular pressure. Mm-hmm. But none of this is really that heavily supported. If you want to find a good controlled trial, you know, placebo-controlled trial out there, it just isn't. And the bigger problem is that a lot of it, we're just asking patients to tell us how they feel.
And they perceive it as better because it's marijuana.
Exactly. So that's the big limitation with marijuana research. It makes you feel good. So you'll perceive more benefits. But then some people would mention, well, isn't that enough then?
Isn't that perception reality?
Yeah. I mean, if your perception is that your pain is less, does it matter? You know, and they do functional MRIs to say like, well, but look, the pain areas of the brain are just as strong in this versus this. But if your perception of the pain is less, does it matter?
You're right.
I don't know. And then the other thing is, you know, is the question of a gateway drug. You know, is marijuana truly, you know, a way that our kids are going to start using marijuana because it's legal, and then all of a sudden they're going to be using heroin?
That's a dumb reason not to do something, though.
It is, and there's not consistent evidence to support that either.
Right.
But there's not consistent evidence to say the other way. That's the problem with a lot of this. And then you throw in there that a lot of the people we're asking about smoking marijuana, they're not getting it from one, you know, it's not like everybody's getting pot from the same place. So we're talking about different strains that are grown in different parts of the world, different amounts of different cannabinoids and different potencies,
some of it's very kind, some of it's less kind. It's hard to keep track.
Well, and different things may work better for nausea versus pain versus depression, whatever. We have no way of knowing unless we're actually manufacturing it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. The big question for me would be this. Do the risks of marijuana really outweigh the risks of opiates? which we already use for chronic pain. Because that's a big question with marijuana. We want to use it for things like cancer pain. And if it works for cancer pain, I'm all for it. I don't know. I think it would probably, a lot of the evidence says is it an adjunct. You would want to use it with another pain medicine. Mm-hmm. But I certainly think it's less addictive than oxycodone. I think many people in the state of West Virginia would attest to that.
Well, I hope that we can get some more research on it, Sid, because I'd like some answers, darn it.
There are, just to let you know, there are two medicines on the market mm-hmm. that are derivatives of cannabinoids that are legal everywhere. Well, Marinol, which I've already mentioned, which is a synthetic THC, which is legal in the U.S. And then there's Sativex, which isn't legal in the U.S., but is in many other countries. And it's actually an oral mucosal spray.
Meaning?
That you just spray it in your mouth.
Oh, okay.
And it's absorbed, and it's used for MS patients for the kind of nerve pain they get.
Huh. Well, those sound boring. I would like to have actual weed, please. So let's get this research done together, America. Please, before my child is here, and I have to stop anyway, because there's nothing lamer than like me smoking, duping it out with my baby upstairs.
I think
it's not a good look.
Well, I think you hit on the big thing. This would be my last take-home point.
I'm ready.
Which would be that if marijuana really can improve pain, improve depression, and help with things like loss of appetite and nausea in, you know, cancer patients, I think I'm all for it. I certainly think that anecdotally, on my end, that people do a lot less harm when they're high on marijuana than they do when they are high on opiates, when they're high on benzos, or when they're drunk.
Okay.
For instance.
Yep.
And I don't know that we can make a convincing argument that marijuana is any more dangerous than cigarettes.
There it is.
So if the evidence is there, I'm all for it. But we've got to reschedule marijuana so that we can prove it. Because as a doctor, I'm going to need some hard evidence before I'm willing to write that prescription.
Reschedule marijuana.
There
if
you
I
go.
Can suggest a time, maybe 4:20.
Really?
Because reschedule.
You made it the whole episode.
Okay.
I did my best. The whole episode.
Listen, thank you so much for listening to our program. Wanted to give you one last pitch on this before we let you go. MaximumFund.org/donate. Max Fund Drive. We only do this once a year. And gosh, it would just mean the world to us. When just so you know, when people go and make their donations and then say they listen to Sawbones, it really makes us look good and it helps everybody like us, which is all we've ever wanted. For $5 a month, you can be a Maximum Fund member, get you 44 hours of exclusive bonus content. For $10 a month, you'll be a friend of the family, and you'll get a delightful cat calendar by Megan Lincott of all of us as kitties.
You won't have that picture of the cat like that's like hanging on the branch that says hang in there.
It's better
I'm
than
sorry
that.
About that, but otherwise, it's way better.
It's better
other,
than that.
Other than that huge exception, it's way better.
For $20 a month, you'll be in the Diamond Friendship Circle and get the Max Fun Morning Essentials Kit, which includes a coffee mug, a delicious bag of Tonks coffee. Well, the coffee's delicious. I don't know that the bag is, frankly. Probably is. Probably biodegradable and like made of phyllo dough or something. And then you get
it's
a
it's not.
It's not. And then you get a bar of stack soap, the soap with a divot.
So go get clean.
Go get
you
clean.
Dirty kid.
Dirty,
come on.
Dirty punk. $35 a month, you'll be in Judge Hodgman's Justice Squad and you'll get a pair of rocket engraved highball glasses. So go to MaximumFund.org/donate. Please help us to make more shows. Pay for the people that make the shows and pay for the stuff we used to make the shows with.
And don't forget that if we happen to be your favorite show, go ahead and mention that.
One last thing, super quick. We are doing a live show, two live shows technically, in New York on May 24th at the People's Improv Theater. You can go to our Twitter page, which is twitter.com/sawbones, or to the People's Improv Theater's website if you want to get tickets to that. There's
another podcast that will also be doing a show.
Yeah,
you may have heard of them.
My brother May is also going to be doing a show. Sawbones will open for them. You can go to thepit-nyc.com to get tickets. All tickets are $20. We're doing a 4 p.m. and a 9:30 p.m. both completely different shows, but come out and see them because they'll be good, I think.
They'll be great. I mean, I'm going to be super pregnant, but they're going to be awesome.
So prego. So please come out to those shows. We would really appreciate seeing you there, and come shake our hand and give us a hug and stuff. Don't touch Sydney's stomach because that's creepy.
Yeah, that's. I was gonna say, oh no, it's okay, but no, no really,
it is creepy. No.
No, but I'll hug you.
Sure, not too tight though, because the baby. Anyway, we'll be really close to the finish line there, guys. We just want to make sure to stay on the straight and narrow. Anyway, go get those tickets. Follow us on Twitter and MaximumFund.org/donate. Thanks to the taxpayers for letting us use their song "Medicines" in our intro and outro. And that's going to do it for us, I think. Make sure to join us again next Tuesday for another episode of Sawbones. Until then, I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always, don't drill a hole in your head.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.